All right, good to see you all here today. Very good. And Pam said to remind you that to make the party just that much more delightful, we don't need any help from anybody. Oh, hi, guys. He painted my 10 years ago, he painted my family room, remember? It still looks good. Although Pam says it needs painted again, I just hate to do that. Spend all that money.
On paint,
of all things. Today is the 4th of July. This is Independence Day. This is the day that our country became a country. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful thing. What a wonderful country was founded. Lots of pain and suffering, lots of joy, but really the greatest country on earth in my judgment. Really been a wonderful thing. And we won't get off on what's going on. We won't even go into that today. But today is, and I hope you will take a little time to talk to your family about that. And maybe even say the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? So we welcome you. I just wanted to show you something I'm doing this summer. I read a fair amount, and maybe you're interested. I'm using this summer. Pam and I are touching it. My Utmost for the Highest by Oswald Chambers. Beautiful book, beautiful devotions and so on. Really a terrific book. This dear brother died like at 42 years of age. But boy, did he do a lot in a short time. Just tremendously used of God. And then I bought this read. This is going to take me 6 months, but I can't put this thing down. It's on the history of Jerusalem. Boy, is this interesting. Traces all the way back, all the details. And it's really good. It's only $11 at the remaining bookstore. What's it called? What's the big bookstore?
Barnes and Noble.
$11. So I bought one for my good friend who's Jewish, and I think he will really enjoy reading it. But I believe the man that wrote that is probably a born again believer. It's really well done. Let's pray right now. Lord, we pray that you would help us. We begin a very exhaustive, complicated, and at times bewildering subject matter here. We pray that you would help us, that we get it right, and do what's right, and be filled with joy in spite of suffering. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good. Yeah, the party is at our house. Is there any questions? We got 55 people coming. And with the helpers, we're going to be nearing 60. So we're in good shape. Food's pretty well good. It's all that. I'm 5 miles north of here. Here's my phone number. Here's my address. I think you all have it. Does anybody have any questions on that? There will be problems in the yard because we're going to eat outside. So I just want to, we're going to be using these plates. Have you seen these plates? I just want to let you know. So don't be too scared if you see a few ants walking around. I thought I should warn you ahead of time. Yeah, protein. I think I ate a lightning bug the other night. One of our grandchildren was over, and she stuck it in the popcorn. Can you imagine? 7 years old pulling a trick on Papa. But anyway, also, just so you know, where's Cliff today? Anybody know where Cliff's at? He's probably up north somewhere. But Cliff is going to be there. And we have a swimming pool with a diving board. And Cliff is going to dive into the... He doesn't know this yet. He's going to dive into the swimming pool if one of you ladies make a basket. I have a water basketball. So we're going to have a little fun with that. And Cliff will do this, I guarantee you. Okay? Anything you want to share spiritually that you... Right now, you'd like to just share a little something. Anything you'd like to share. It's on your mind. Good to have the Kellers back. Anything? Who do we got back?
Richard and Marta.
Yeah.
Bridget.
I'm sorry. I'm sort of new to the class. I didn't know you were part of the class.
Yes,
okay. Forgive me. I'm kind of new to this class. Anybody want to share anything? Okay.
Faithful.
Very faithful.
My daughter came back from Bible camp last night. Just after she told us about all the adventures, she really talked about how the teaching was really, really hard-hitting, and she has come home with some renewed just her faith renewed, I'd say.
And, wonderful.
Awareness of so some spiritual things for herself that she's going to work on. So I'm just very grateful
to
the Lord, too, that there's an opportunity there for her to reflect.
Wonderful.
And desire to grow spiritually. So I'm very, very grateful.
And my oldest granddaughter came back from camp, 12 years old, Kate, and we stopped by last night, and she said, Papa, I want to tell you something. I got saved this week. I got saved.
Amen.
That's the best news I could ever hear. Somebody else?
Yes, during this pandemic shutdown, while we were home for a long time, God showed us a lot of Bible-based teachings online.
Yeah.
We were just so blessed to have the feeding coming in there as well as our own personal Bible reading.
Yeah.
But although it was a negative time in many ways, it became a very enriching time.
Yes.
So we're thrilled.
Praise the Lord. Very good. We were in New England last week for 9 days in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Anybody ever been to Gloucester? No, but oh, you got to go there. You got to go there. But anyway, dead to the gospel, I thought. But while we were there, we met a bunch of Christians at the little dinky hotel, including the owner, and we had a little prayer meeting, and we had a little time of sharing, and we had a great time. And one of the guys was a pastor of a Bible church there, and he said, hey, Barry, I said, man, this place is dead. New England seems dead for the gospel. He says, well, it is. But 10 years ago, we only had 3 church plants going. Today, we have 70. 70 church plants, evangelical churches being planted in the New England states. So he says, that's something to praise God about. So I thought that was good. Now, I want to tell you something. There's introduction stuff, you know, and we've got next week, we'll go as far at 10:02, we'll stop, and then we'll start next week. So it's always nice when we got lots of time. Because my outline, which was for today, honestly, is 10 pages long. Eat your heart out, Wade, you know. And by the way, did everybody get an outline? I did an outline. It's not as fancy-dancy as his, but I attempted to do an outline. So I hope you'll look at that and follow it with me. What's that? Hey, you're right. You're right. Look at my Bible. Huh? Not bad, eh? Hey, when you get as young as I am, you'll begin to understand. But I wanted to let you know, I've been taught Scripture for a long time, many, many, many decades. 80% of all my teaching I've ever done was verse by verse. So I don't want you to think when we're on subject matters, this was assigned by the elder board. This is what we're going to do. In fact, they just started theirs 3 weeks ago across the row. I just talked to one of the guys there. So I just want you to know that. So today we start this series, and I wanted to let you know, and it's here for maybe one person who cares. These are the books and so on that I used as my source for this study, okay? One that I would recommend everybody buy, the best of the best, is by Elizabeth Elliot, who lost her husband in Ecuador in like 1956, as we all remember from the wonderful play. And her book, it's a short one and it's good, is Suffering is Never for Nothing. So I would highly recommend that. And then I listed all the other sources too. So for those one of you, two of you that care, you can come up here and look at this thing. Check me out.
Can we post that on the board
up here? Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, I'll put it up there. But when I finish this introduction this morning, and we won't finish it, but during this time, I would like to spend a few minutes and hear from you answering this question that I have here, okay? And here's the question, and we'll do it next week and next week too. Give me an example in your life of suffering, of pain, or even anguish, and what God did with it, okay? That's the question we want to come back to. Some of this is going to be bizarre, what I'm going to say. Some of it will be troubling. Some of it we probably will have open disagreement on, nice Christian disagreement, Holy Spirit-led disagreement, but we don't want to bypass this important subject, okay? COVID was an awful year. It was an awful year, okay? I believe it was one in which possibly the Lord was separating some of the chaff from the wheat type attitude, okay? I think that those of us, as we've heard testimony here this morning, those of us who saw it as an opportunity for good, we became stronger than ever followers of Jesus Christ, okay? And as 1 Peter says, you know, we're going to see what reaches the top of that gold that's made with fire, okay? So it's been a rough year, okay? It's been a rough year. One of the remarkable things to me is, no, I'm going to hold off on that comment. We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Suffering is a huge thing for all of us, as we're going to find out here. Today, I want to start off by introducing what we're going to do. Okay, just a short introduction, and then I got a long introduction, which will take a couple weeks probably. But we are going to talk about things like the reason for suffering, learning to walk through suffering, the varieties of things that can happen in our life, okay? Weeping, crying, trusting, praying, thinking, thanking, loving, hoping. And then we're going to talk about the suffering of God Himself, okay? So we're going to cover a lot of territory, and I think you'll find it interesting and helpful. Any comments on that? All right. This is a subject that in my life is not spoken of all that often. And I kind of know why. We kind of think, I do sometimes, that if I'm a really spiritual Christian, if I'm really living for Jesus, I'm not going to have any pain and suffering, right? Don't we sometimes think that? We think it's going to be really good for me if I follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep my act together so I don't have to suffer. We tend to think that. Well, guess what? Guess what? That's not necessarily true. There are over 80 to 100 verses in the Bible that deal with this subject. We will be looking at some of them. We will be analyzing others in depth, and we will conclude with an astounding fact. All of us, super Christians or not, are going to suffer and have pain and have anguish in our lives. It's going to come at some time. Okay? Go ahead.
You know, none of us like to suffer, but I think of the age group that a lot of the class is here, when we have enough spiritual wisdom to understand that when we do suffer, if we are walking with Christ and want to look more like Him every day, that suffering has a purpose.
Amen.
And instead of rejecting it and fighting it, embracing it and moving forward with, you said, learn how to walk, you know, through suffering. That's the example. That's where we need to get as followers of Christ.
Amen.
So that it doesn't prolong it. You know, it doesn't make you have to go back and revisit things that you should way back here.
Yeah.
But it can be a sweet time as well. Hard, yes, but it can be a sweet time as well.
Amen.
The Lord.
On the way back from Massachusetts, I called a lot of different people. One of my friends, like a shirt-tail relative, he's paralyzed from here down in North Carolina. The joy in this man's heart is unbelievable. The joy that he is experiencing, the expressions, and they're not fake, I don't believe at all. They are real. And he's been this way for like 22 years. Wow. Tracy. You know what I mean? Some of us might say, as I do, I never knew this was part of the deal. You know? I didn't know this was part of the deal, Lord. I thought that I trusted my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to avoid all this misery, that I wasn't going to have any of it, that everything was going to be so well, right? Well, let me get one thing straight right out of the get-go. What time is it? 1:45? Yeah. I wasn't gonna tell this story, but I'm gonna do it. I want to. Let me get one thing straight right out of the get-go. Suffering and pain that you bring on yourself, okay, due to improper eating habits, lack of exercise, dangerous lifestyles, we're not gonna be studying that. We're not gonna say that's of God, okay? One piece of advice, I'll illustrate, and this is bizarre, and some of you are going to get upset with me. One piece of advice, I'll illustrate from a story in the last 4 weeks of a dear brother. He really loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. He speaks often of Christ, always. He's 150 pounds overweight. He's been that way for 2 decades, okay? When I sit in his car, there's 5 bags of empty potato chip bags in the back seat, and now I know why all this is going on, okay? He's got a problem. He's had it for a long time, and he asked me to help him. He asked me to help him. Why am I suffering, he says, so much physically? You know, I've got all kinds of health issues. My body's falling apart. I've got mental ailments that have come upon me, and I want to get rid of these in my life, Barry, and I want you to help me. I like that. You want to know what my answer was? What do you think I said? In one sentence, what do you think I said to this dear brother? Huh?
Diet.
Okay. Chips? What else?
I'm not the one that can help you.
Only God. That's right. You got to get your act together. He's a very dear saint. I mean it. He loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. I said, Joe, that's not his name. I said, you want me to help you? Are you serious about it? You really want Barry Malloy to be involved? Because you're going to come to regret this. Are you ready? Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you must purpose to lose 150 pounds over the next 192 days. 1 pound a day, and I'll give you a Sunday off. 1 pound a day. You are to do cardiac exercises for 17 minutes a day. And I want you to move up in the next 30 days to, in the next month to 30 minutes a day for 192 days. And I mean cardiac, I mean heart pumping hard. And I gave him all those things with those weights that I do. And I even exaggerated a little bit about what I did, you know. But you know, a little bit, just a little bit. And this must be done. And I said, I'm telling you, Joe, no exception to this thing. Absolutely no exception. Only the Lord can make this happen. Are you ready? Joe, are you ready? We've been going now for 4 weeks, okay? What do you think has happened in the last 4 weeks?
I lost 20 pounds.
No. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Okay? I don't plan on talking to him anymore about this issue. I'm done. But I just wanted to use that as a bizarre example, a true one, a bizarre example that, no, that's not the pain and suffering we're going to talk about. There's so much we can do to have a vital life, as you know, if we're willing to be disciplined in our daily routines. That's all I wanted to mention on that. Any other comments on that? Go ahead, Mike.
You had mentioned a minute ago that like we're not going to be dealing with these kinds of things in the series yet. You know, often...
And we might.
Yeah, often I think a good way to think about these things ourselves in our own lives, and we're all sinners. We all struggle with different problems, sins, temptations, etc.
Yeah.
Whether it's pride or it's a weight issue or it's an abuse issue or it's an addiction issue or whatever it is. But the thing I think is helpful is to put it in 2 categories. you have pain and suffering that are due to circumstances, you have pain and suffering that are due to consequences.
Yes.
And the consequences are, in like in tennis, you have unforced errors where somebody hits the ball into the net. Nobody made them do it.
Yep.
And we have so many unforced errors. Life is hard enough with the circumstances in a fallen world to deal with stuff, the pain and suffering that we can't get around.
Right.
When it comes to the pain and suffering due to our own consequences of our own behavior, that's what we can really work on.
Yes. Amen.
And those are the unforced errors that so many of us, and again, we all make mistakes.
Yep.
But that's the thing we can do, we can focus on to reduce dramatically the pain and suffering in our life.
Amen. You want to preach this? You want to come up and teach?
Try to keep my mouth shut.
No. I don't want... Nobody should keep their mouth shut. Suffering is everywhere, folks. And sometimes, even for you and I, it can be absolutely overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. This is the third time I've said it. About a year ago to the day, I almost died. I'm not going to tell you yet about what happened, but I was... going home to see Jesus. Hey, guess what? I'm here. How do you like that? Isn't that cool? For some of you, you might say, well, I wish he'd probably gone home to see Jesus. Pain and suffering is the norm in the world, including our world. We often think it's only going to happen to the other people. You know, it's not going to happen to me because I really love Jesus. I want you to live life well. I want you to live life with great joy, like my friend Kenny, who's paralyzed from here down. Okay? Despite these terrible realities. The loss of a loved ones. My social life has suddenly become going to funerals, you know, a lot. And I don't really like going to a lot of funerals. I don't mind a few, but I don't like a lot. And sometimes I find myself, it becomes our social life. The loss of loved ones. Debilitating and fatal illnesses. Okay? Personal betrayals. People in my life that I thought, man, they've got my back. And they absolutely tried to destroy me. In a work world, I never thought that would happen. Financial reversals, okay? Moral failures. All of these will perhaps occur in your life and in mine. And ultimately, in this life, the command for all of us believers is to be spiritual. We're to view everything in life from a spiritual directive. It's all from the Lord. What can I learn from Him? Why was I put here? It's a spiritual thing, okay? Let the afflicted hear and be glad. I want to go to Psalm, again, 34. I want to go to that verse again. Because tucked in that beautiful psalm is a phrase about suffering. 34, 1 through 3. Anybody want to read it? How about somebody reading it? 34, 1 through 3.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Amen. And the NIV says, the phrase that I wanted to use, verse 2, let the afflicted hear and rejoice.
He says, let the humble.
Yes.
Hear and be glad.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. It's a wonderful scripture. Many, many people in my life who are unsaved, even this past week, asked me, and perhaps we do say it too at times, how could a good God, this is what I get all the time, how could a good God, a just God, a loving God, allow such misery and depravity and pain? How can this be? Don't you get that? I guarantee you, if you witness for Jesus Christ, you're going to get that thrown at you, right? That one, and what's your standing on homosexuality now? You know, I tell you, every time I was witnessing in Boston for Jesus, and they immediately threw the homosexual thing. I don't want to get off on that, but that is like number one. It's even higher than this one. But most people say, how can this be? If your God's such a loving God, then why does Kenny O'Brien, why is he paralyzed from here down? By the way, most people find God through affliction. Most people find God through suffering. How many of you came to Christ after the age of 20? Raise your hand. What do we got here? Just a handful. Interesting. Okay, just a handful. All right. How many of you came to Christ over 20, suffering and affliction? Things were in your life. There were some real trying times, and that was what the Lord used to bring you to Christ. Huh? Same hands, mostly.
Yeah. Or under 20 with all of that.
Would you be under 20? Okay, okay. I just didn't want to throw a teenager in there. Yeah. Okay. We see that not only are we not in control of our life, but guess what? We never were. We never were. We thought we had it all figured out. We thought we could play the game, but it didn't work. C.S. Lewis said, I always knew in principle, and by the way, at the end of this, I want to hear a testimony of my question. I need one person at least. I always knew in principle that Jesus is all you need to get through. I knew it intellectually, in principle. But you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. Huh? When I laid in the hospital at Bon Secours, I had COVID on second floor, COVID on fourth floor, and I was on the third floor, and I was a dying man. Okay? It appeared to be over. And I'll never forget it. I knew there would be a tear today. I just knew there would be one. I want to tell you something. Jesus was all I had. Jesus was all I had. That was it. I had nowhere else to go. He put me right at the end, right on the edge. And he was all I had. I tell you what, that's where we want to be every day. Now, testimony. Come on, I need one. What's our time? What's that clock say? Forgive me for this. 2 minutes to 10. So we got 2 minutes. We got one. We got time for one. We have a lot of scripture to cover, by the way. A lot of scripture. Okay, let me mark this, and it'll tell me that's where I ended today. All right, how about a testimony? Let me read the question. Yeah, please, Trace.
Testimony. You know, you were on the third floor, and floor two, you know, were COVID floors, you said.
Oh, yeah.
Psalm 139:5 tells us that you hem us in behind the floor. And I just thought
yeah.
That, you know, that might have been what that represented in the world.
Yes.
It wasn't what God represented.
Amen.
You know?
Yes. Tremendous. Give me an example in your life of suffering, pain, or anguish, and what God did with it. I need a testimony. Short one. A couple minutes. Come on. Sister? Here's a sister who's lost her husband in the last 4 months. Go ahead.
The answer to knowing the principle of Jesus, okay, I'm going to go on that one.
Yes.
Stephen had always been a very good follower of Christ, and he taught me a lot about how Jesus needed to live in our lives at all times.
Amen.
And to trust in him at all times. And we walked a good walk together through his sickness, and but at the very end, hearing him cry out, not to me anymore, not calling me to help him,
yeah,
but to hear, even under his breath where he couldn't even open his eyes anymore. He truly was not a part of the world. As he lay in that bed, and I watched him daily struggle to take his breath.
Yes.
He cried out to Jesus. And I would sit by his side and hold his hand. And I would ask him if there was anything I could do to help relieve his pain or his so-called suffering.
Yes.
And he said, just allow me to have Jesus.
Wow.
And I told him I didn't have to allow him to do that because he already knew he had that. It was me asking him to allow me to have Jesus.
Yes.
That was hard.
What a testimony. Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the comfort that we have. The affliction comes on us, and we can actually rejoice and be glad that you are in charge of all the affairs of our life, Lord. And we want to live for you. We flat out want to live for you, Lord. We want you to be number one in our lives, Lord. Help us this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.